all-time favorite verse in life. I mean, for real, it is the MVP of verses for me. It is the pinnacle of gospel truth. It's John 3:16. I never get tired of talking about it. It never feels redundant talking about the truth and how the gospel is so summed up in God's plan for our life. God's message, God's story for us is found in John 3:16. And it goes like this: for God so loved the world, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son. It goes on to say that anyone who believes in him, anybody that relies and trusts on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have everlasting life. And so it speaks of life. And I love this. I love the first nine words. I've spent time focusing around those first nine words that God so loved the world that he gave. So the truth of the matter is that God loves, therefore he gives. That God is a God of love and God is a God that gives. God is a God that gave us something. He loved us so much, he had to give us something. He couldn't sit back and not give. His love calls him to give. The greatest thing about God not only is his love, but it's in his giving. Because if he had love but he didn't give us love, we wouldn't know it. But because he is love and then he gave us love, then we know it. It's just like in a relationship. So often the measure of love in a relationship is the measure of the giving in a relationship. A lot of the times you know someone is interested in you because they're giving you time or they're giving you just a little eyes like, what's up? Just giving you some stare time. Hey, what's your name? Where you from? You give time, you give attention, you give, I remember when I saw Delin and just, whoa, what's up with that? And just, you know, immediately fell in love with her. I was in love with her when she was in like with me. It's not fun when you say, I love you, and they say, that's cute, thank you. You better hold up, my friend. And so I was in love with her. She was still in like with me. And so I started thinking, what's she like? And I found out what she liked. She liked certain candy bars. And so every day I was in Bible college. She was coming up and doing a little secretarial work while she was in school. So I'd give her a little candy bar. And then I found out she liked, back in the day, come on, old school, these little Precious Moment statues. Now, I know y'all don't know none about that. And little babies with these big heads and make a little statue, like flying a kite. It's like, my love is so high. You know, my love was so broad for you. So I'd put little statues on her desk. I'd go by there like, what's up, girl? Check it out. Got you Precious Moments. Got you some chocolate. After about 6 months, she finally got a glimpse of the total package, if you know what I'm talking about. Woo! Ric Flair here, baby. Nature Boy. Woo! Total package. Took her a while. But my love for her made me give. You know, it's interesting. It's a lot of reasons sometimes that love is fading is because giving is fading. You're not giving me any time. You're not giving me any attention. And I found out also that one of the ways you restore love in a relationship is you begin to give back to that relationship. God so loved that he gave. I love what Mother Teresa says. She's one of my all-time favorites. Says, when you know how much God is in love with you, then you can only live your life radiating that love. Then, because love causes an action. Love has a response. Love has a reply. See, the truth of the matter is that we are never more like God than when we give. When we respond, that when we know that God loves us and God cares about us, and we begin to understand that, or we begin to lean into that, or we begin to give that a chance, whether it's through a small group or a growth track or come to church or watch online or be there at the Bellevue campus, we just begin to give that idea a chance in our life that maybe God does love me, even though I've not loved myself, or maybe I feel unlovable, but we just begin to entertain that idea, or someone tells us that we love it. We're never more responding to that than we give, and we give him a chance. And once we give him a chance and give his son a chance in our life and we say yes to him, then the greatest thing that we can do is then to reflect that love by giving also back. By reflecting that we love, we give, we love, we serve, we love, we care, we love, we sacrifice, we love, we notice, we love, we're aware of those around us. You know, I was not raised in church, but I had a great first pastor. So I came to Christ, and then because of outreach, and then I jumped into church that was near the beach. And when I was working at the beach, and it was a cool church, a little beach church, a small church, not a lot of people there. And he was an older pastor, a long-winded preacher, a little angry preacher. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody with a little angry preacher on him, just kind of angry eyebrows, and would say, "Let me tell you something, you know, just, you know, you better listen to me right now." Just one of those kind of preachers. But I loved him. Why? Because I knew that he cared about me. He gave me time. And he would confront me, and he would deal with things, and he would call me out and say things to me about life. And he loved me enough not to leave me in the land of me, myself, and I. He loved me enough to not let me live my life in Meville. He wanted to get me in and get me out of that address and move me out of that subdivision of selfishness and self-centeredness and self-awareness. And it was so hard at that age, being 19, 20 years old, because let me tell you something. It's hard at any age not to just be about yourself. So Dino loved Dino. Dino loved taking care of Dino. I was my favorite person to hang out with. I was my favorite person to shop for. What you want, Dino? I don't know. Let's go shopping. I got you. My pastor confronted me one day. I never forget. He stopped me in the foyer of the church. He said, "You're not a giver." I said, "Oh, I think I am. I mean, I give." He said, "No, you're not." I said, "No, I give my time." I said, "Sir," he said, "You're not a giver." I said, "Pastor," he said, "No, I checked. You're not giving to the church." Brother checked. I never heard that in my life. Can I tell you something? It wasn't for his cause. It was for my cause. He loved me enough to care. That he knew that I'd never be more like God than when I give. He knew that there's a reply to God's love. It ain't just about you. He didn't reach you to stop. He reached you to reach through you. He didn't bring you through the gospel door for you to let the gospel door close behind you. He brought you in so that you keep holding the door open for others, 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 others. And so he stopped me one day, and he said, "I want to get you giving your tithe and offering. I don't think you're giving your finances. And I know I see you drive up here in that new car, and you got skateboards and bikes and wearing all them Quicksilvers and always got them nice flip-flops on. And I think you spend it all on yourself." He said, "I'm going to teach." And he taught me, Pastor Kevin, he taught me the principle of tithe and offerings in the foyer of the church in front of people. Just all embarrassed. That he didn't care. He had the gift of embarrassment. And so he told me, he said, "Listen, there's going to be a missionary to China. She's going to be here next Sunday. You come ready to give. God's going to use you." Not for his stead. Wasn't about the church. It was about my heart. See, my pastor knew some things that I didn't know. He knew that if I lived a selfish life, if I lived a life where I could not spread love and I couldn't be a part of summer love or I couldn't help others, that how would marriage work? How would parenting work? How could I ever be a friend? How could I ever work a decent job if I didn't realize that life was not about me, myself, and I? So I came that Sunday night, and I'd gotten paid. I worked for my dad. We're Italian. He paid me cash money. I was 18, 19 years old, 20 years old. Give me $400 in cash. I mean, that's a lot of money, $400 in cash money. I'd go change it and get $5 bills because I like having that wad of money. Just like, "What's up?" Just pull it all out. Like, "What's up, girl?" Just boom. Just make it rain $5 bills all up in here. Just boom. And so I came to church on that Sunday night, and the precious lady got and talked about Bibles for China, moved my heart, and the pastor got up, and it wasn't weird, or he wasn't trying to twist anybody's arm. He just said, "Listen to the Lord. For $10, you can buy a Bible, and we'll bring it to villages and people that don't have scripture." And there was a tension in my heart. I don't know if you've ever had that tension where you're supposed to buy a meal. You're supposed to help somebody. Maybe somebody in your neighborhood or somebody on your campus or somebody in your family that's struggling. You know you're supposed to do something. You see something with a hygiene pack where you're supposed to take that step. And you always reason in yourself, like, "I shouldn't do that," or "I don't really need to come next Saturday and help out with collecting garbage. Plenty of people are going to be there." There's always that tension, and there's always that internal conversation about serving and loving and reaching and giving. And that, I was having that tension, and I heard in my spiritual ear as the container were passed for an offering that night, I heard, "Give it all." I thought, "No, I'm going to be buying one Bible. They're $10. Thank you very much." Give it all, one Bible. Give it all, one Bible. There was that war, that debate. And as that container came down, I remember just reaching in my pocket and taking all that money and dropping it in that container. And the battle that went on in those moments. And it was like when that container came by me, you know what I'm talking about. It's like those dollar bills climbed up on the side of the bucket and said, "We're going to China. I'll see you later." Oh God. Broke my heart. See, it wasn't about China. It wasn't about those Bibles. It wasn't about the pastor. It wasn't about the church. It was about my heart. Would my heart be open to be extended to other people? That's what my pastor knew that I didn't know. He knew life would never work properly. There'd never be purpose. There'd never be fulfillment till I was willing and able and to give my life away. Give my life away. Paul knew that. I love the scripture in 1 Timothy where Paul unpacks this idea. It's really the summer love idea. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19, and Paul's talking to Timothy who's navigating people and schedule and life and those that are distracted. There's a lot of different focus. And Paul begins to say this, command those, verse 17, who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth. It's amazing how long ago that was written and how true that is today. He says, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. What a freedom there is in that verse, that it's okay to have things and it's okay to have a boat and it's okay to have a curling iron. Come on, somebody. It's okay to go get our nails done and to have a couple pair of shoes and to get season tickets to the sea. All that's fine. It's great to have things. What Paul and what I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to say is it's okay to have things, but the problem is when those things have you. That's when life gets messed up. That's when marriage and family and friendships. So he says this. He says, so then therefore command them to do good and to be rich. I love this phrase, rich in good deeds. Boy, what a goal in life to be rich in good deeds. I'm going to be wealthy and others oriented. Rich in good deeds. Be generous and willing to share. Give some of your time. Give some of that talent. It ought to say, and being a part of summer love. Willing to share. In this way, it doesn't end. In this way, you will lay up a treasure. They will lay up a treasure for themselves as a firm foundation to the coming age so that they may take hold, they may possess of the life that is truly life. Not that fake life. Not that life that everybody thinks is so amazing. And you know I'm talking about that life that's like, look at my life. It's so incredible. My life is so awesome. And it's like, really? You know, you look on Instagram, and everybody's like, look how great my life is. It's so great. No, Paul says, whoa. He says, really, I want you to take hold of true life. Not just that appearance of life, because too many people are chasing the appearance of life. And he says the appearance of life is just not about yourself. You know, that's just the appearance. Really, true life is when you reach and you give and you serve and you take your time and your talent and your treasure and you're rich in good deeds and you're generous and you give your life away. And in the giving of your life, you will find true life. He says, this is how it works. This is how it works. So I want to take a few minutes because I believe that's your heart. That's the heart of this church. It's to move life forward, move true life forward. And I believe one of the ways we do it is we decide, I'm going to be a part. No, I'm not. This is can I tell you something? Summer love is an all-in call for the church, not just for a few. It's all in. This is an all-in moment at Bellevue, those online, here in Tacoma. It's an all-in call. Let's all make a difference together. What would our region, what would our city, what would our neighborhoods be like if all of us decided that I'm going to be the hands and feet of Jesus in my little world? I'm going to be like God because I'm going to give and I'm going to notice. I'm going to be aware of it. Let me give you three kind of applications. I want to finish with, you say, well, Dana, how do I do that? Give me some application. I'm going to give you kind of three different ideas on how to make the most of your summer love. They're very practical. They're very simple. I believe this can possibly help us. Here's the first one. Live life to be a steward of all that you've been given. I think that's your first decision. Not an owner. It's not mine. I'm a steward. God has blessed me with a talent. God has blessed me with a skill. God has blessed me with some treasure and some income, or has blessed me with a gift or a touch for someone. I care about people, and I want to be a steward of that. And the only way a steward can be successful is if they have a plan to steward their time. And so one of the things that I love about Champion Center is they're giving you a plan so that you can steward someone. I believe every single one of us say, I want to be a part of that, but how do I do that? When do I do that? And what I love is they make it easy. You've been anywhere and you got real excited about it, but then you couldn't figure out how to do it. Say, oh, I so want to be a part of that. How do I learn that? Well, there's 45 steps. It's like, okay, we're not doing that, okay? I'm out of here on page 80 of the internet. You know, it's like you fill out an application and you're on page 16 and you're I don't think they make it so easy. It's just, you just register online. Or how about this? They're going to put it on the screen. You could just do it right now. You could take Summer and text it to a number, and you could participate. So here's what I want you to do, because I'm kind of ADD, so I like doing a lot of things at once. I even like preaching while other things are going on. And so I'm all about that. So I want you to take out your phones, and I want you to register now to be a part. Maybe you're watching online. You can click to be a part of that. Or if you say, well, I want to do that after service. No, let's go ahead and do it now. You can take a picture of it to save it. But let's go ahead now and text Summer, where you can get a part of that. You can find out about the events. You can know where these things are happening. You can know the different causes. There is dozens of causes and dozens of touch points that you can connect with it. And they're at all different times and in all different locations. So we want to make it easy. Why? Because we want to help you steward this gift and the blessings that are on your life, because we can do more together than we can all by myself. We have a saying that down in Louisiana, you don't want to live on by yourself. Come on, somebody. It's not a good place to live on by yourself. And we can make a difference together for the cause of Jesus Christ. One of the ways is live my life to be a steward. Lord, I want to live my life of all that you've given me, because I look around and you have blessed me. I may not have everything I need, and I may not be on the who's who list, but I can tell you right now, always remember this, there is always someone less fortunate than yourself. And that's how you live your life. As a blessing, here's the second, how to make the most of summer love is live life to be a sample of God's love. I'm praying that not only is it 15,000 hours, and I believe it's going to go beyond that, way beyond that, I believe it's 15,000 samples, that every hour, every act is a sample letting someone know you matter to God. I never forget a time we were in a season of our church, and I began to just think, and God began to really speak to my heart, and the way that he does it impresses my heart. And he kept telling me in my little devotion time and my little prayer time that people matter to me. People matter to me, the poor, the rich, the singles, the blended families, those that are fighting addiction, those that are having, they all matter to me. And finally, it was like, okay, Lord, I get it. You keep telling me that. I know I'm a slow learner, but I think I got it. And he said, but that's in my heart, the way he impressed me and the way that I journal and try to figure things out. And it was like the Lord just spoke to my heart. But it's not enough that they matter to me. They need to matter to you. So they're only going to know me if they matter to you. And your act of love and your service, it's a sample of me. I don't know about you, but I love samples. I'm a sample guy. Delin, I went to a store a while back. I tell the story real quick. It's called Costco. It's like a bumped up Sam's, okay? So we go to Costco, and it's incredible. And we go in, and Delin's got a list, and she's focused, and I'm fogged out. I'm distracted. I know that totally surprises you. And so, you know, I walk in. It's like a butterfly. Oh, my goodness. I'm just going over here. And so I'm walking around. It's early in the morning. We're the first ones there. And we meet these people at the end of the aisle. Most of them are senior adults, and they're called sample engineers. They're from the Lord. I'm just telling you right now. Come on, Bellevue. And I walk by one, she says, good morning. Good morning. They have a conversation. Good morning. She says, can I tell you about the things we're presenting to the wonderful people of Birmingham? Yes, you can. She says, are you hungry? It's 9:45. I'm starving. What do you think? And so she says, moving closer, and she begins to tell me about the samples that they're offering today. And she says, let me tell you about our tortilla chip. She says, these are tortilla chips that have brought down from the mountains of Balis. And they've been brought down on velvet-laid mules. And we've barged them over on bedazzled barges. And we've paired them with guacamole from Nicaragua. At this time, I'm speaking Spanish. I'm like, hola, señorita, fuego, fuego, fuego. And she says, and we're going to present them to you on a Vanity Fair napkin. Shut your mouth. Those are 55 cents. I only get them at a wedding. She says, would you like one? Yes. And so I take this chip and dip, and I taste it. Oh, it's like a fiesta. I see Dylan. Dylan, we're going to Honduras. Come here. So when we get done, she says, would you like more? Yes, I would. She takes me around the corner. It was just a sample, but when I go around the corner, there are aisles of chips and spices and avocado. I'm loading up the car. Can I tell you something? It was a sample, but a sample was all I needed to want more. It was not about the sample. It was about the more. See, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Some people only need a taste, and their life is changed forever. And can I tell you something? We can all be a sample. Every hour we serve, every act of kindness we do, whether with the church or on our own, is a sample. Lord, let this time, let this talent be a sample to people that are lost and hungry that you love them. Amen. Then the last thing, and I'll finish with this, is I think it's so important. Lord, help me to live my life to be an invitation to church and to Jesus. Lord, that I could live my life after all that I've been through, my ups and my downs, my good and my bad, that you would use me to be an invitation to someone else that is broken and hurting, suffering and struggling. That my words and my noticing and my serve and my summer love and my hours, Lord, I pray that my hours would be an invitation to people, to church. Do you know many people are one invitation away to church? And then one invitation away to Jesus. What's amazing is you and I get to kind of help kind of make that gap smaller. Some people you look, man, they're far from God. Can I tell you something? You get them to church and it's amazing how time and God's spirit in this worship and all that's happening with kids and a handshake at the door. It's amazing how that begins to grow together. And that step to Jesus is not that far. But our invitation, Lord, let me live my life in a way, let me give and care and notice in a way that my life is an invitation to church and to Jesus. This is that church. You are those people. That's Summer Love 2017. Amen. The other day, my wife had told me that she wanted to do some things. I went to prayer meeting, and we do a little prayer on Saturday to pray for weekends like this where we're trying to help people. And I got home and she told me, she said, hey, guess what? My daughter's with, you're going to take us shopping. It's been a great day. Amen. Thank you. Wow. It's fabulous. Who wants to watch football when I could go shopping? And so we go to the store called Forever 21. Oh, it's the devil. And we go there and it's crazy. It's hot. There's a billion people. All the aisles are tight. I'm a big man. I'm burning diesel. I'm hot. Music. A billion people. I get lost. 45 minutes later, Delenn hands me clothes and says, can you go check out? We're leaving. I go check out. Have you ever been to one of those places? It's like these lanes. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's these. You've been there because you have clothes, Forever 21 clothes. And so you just walk through these lanes. Animal prints, neon, hot. And then you can shop while you're walking through to check out. There's like Justin Bieber eye patches and sleep patches and nail polish and fans that are like, who let the dog out? Who? It's amazing. So they're shopping all up on top of you. And I got a little small guy behind me. He's jabbing me with hangers. And finally, I'm just frustrated. I'm hot. I get up to the checkout counter. I put my stuff down. He kind of walks with me because he wants to jump on the gun to check out. There's this precious girl there. And I put my stuff. She says, well, how are you? I said, man, it's rough. I said, but thank God I went to church this morning and prayed. And then I paused. Wish I said I did it more because sad to say, I live very self-aware and very scheduled. My schedule is a lot about me. And I said, oh, how are you? She says, you don't even want to know. I've had the worst week of my life. And the Bible says the eyes are the window of the soul. And I looked in her and she said, you don't even want to know how dark my life is. Wow. And I said, well, I can't be a whole sermon, but I can be a sample. I said, well, I could tell you this. God knows. He loves you and he cares about you. And she said, thank you. And I began to leave, and I said, hey, what about this? And he's already putting his stuff up behind me. He's jamming with hangers. I said, hey, I'm going to pray for you. I said, so I'm going to go down to the end of this counter. I'm a big guy. You can't miss me. And I'm going to pray. What's your first name? Because she's someone's daughter. And she matters to God. But at that point, she needs to know that she matters to me. So how she knows she matters to God is she matters to me. I said, I'm going to pray for you. And this guy's trying to hurry me along. He's impatient. And like most of us are. Did I hear you say like most of us are? And he says, he's praying for her. That's the holdup. He's praying for her. And I said, my man, you need to back up off me. You don't know me. You don't know my name. You don't know my people. You don't know where I come from. I will go Medea. I will shut this whole store down. Get up off me. He's a little redneck from Alabama. He's like, oh, okay, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I stood down at the end of that counter, and I prayed my prayer for that precious daughter of God who matters to him. Hey, Champion Summer, summer 2017, let's be that church. Let's be those people. Let's be those people. Let's be those people. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. And I thank you, Father, for your love toward me. Lord, you reached me and you still reach out to me. Undeserved. But you gave your son. So, Lord, I pray that you would help me to be the hands and feet of your son, to be your hand extended, to be your feet, Lord. Let me reach and give and sacrifice. And, Lord, I just pray for every person that they'll know, Father, that this will be a summer, Father. This will be a summer they will never forget. In Jesus' name, amen.